that party line.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line podcast. This is your hostess, Kat, and today I have with me Carl.
What is happening, Kat?
And I have with me Eric.
Hey, what's up?
Better. All right.
Listen to the end of the episode for why that's that. Okay, today we're going to discuss the epic sci-fi blockbuster of the summer, Battleship.
Oh.
What?
Now listen, I thought the film was fine. It was a fine motion picture. I wouldn't call it epic of the summer.
I was being a smartass.
But it was frighteningly watchable. I will put it that way. I will say I was surprised. I was looking forward to this film, actually, because I was looking for some dumb fun.
Yeah.
But it surprised me that it was better than I thought it was going to be. So that was a good thing.
Skyline expectations going in?
See, the problem is, who has skyline expectations? You know, you can't possibly imagine that anything is going to be that bad.
He's been on record as saying he likes skyline fine. So, this Eric that we have that we're talking to right now, I'm calling you out, brother.
Oh, my God. What is wrong with you, man?
Hey, I just call it like I see it.
That is ridiculous. All right.
No.
Okay, we're not going to relive the horror that was Skyline. But I was simply saying, yeah, I was surprised. And now, much like the alien craft skirting along the surface of the water, it kept dipping into camp. It was almost not a good film, but it managed to somehow stay above the surface and deliver an enjoyable experience. So I'm satisfied with Battleship.
I had to say, what I was looking for after like 5 months of nothing but studying and just being miserable and stuff like that, I wanted to turn my brain off, and I just wanted to look at something big, loud, aliens, cliche, bad jokes, military. I wanted to see all that, and I think Battleship delivered that for me. It gave me exactly what I was looking for. Before, you know, I got excited about this film, the thing that I saw about it, because I think Regal Films shows like behind the scenes stuff in their thing called the 20 months earlier before a movie comes out. And so I got to see some background on the movie. And what I really enjoyed about it was that they actually, like Stargate, consulted the Navy on this. And they were working, you know, with our Navy. And they had some actual soldiers, or I guess.
Yeah.
In the film, and they got a lot of the jargon right. They got so they say, because I don't really know. They wanted Rihanna to hold the guns right, have the right haircut. She was really into doing the thing right and not just being a dumb, you know, singer in a movie, which I really think she was successful at. I really enjoyed her. And so I really like that. And Peter Berg himself said he used to be into battleships as a kid. His dad used to take him to see them. My family took me to see battleships. I love battleships. I love just the gear you see. And I don't know. I was just excited for that. So I was also interested to hear Eric's opinion on how authentic it felt, or, you know, was it that, at least for a fun film, authentic enough?
Well, I've never been in the Navy.
Well, but I mean, does it sound that, you know, I mean.
No, it was obvious to me early on that, okay, yes, I could tell this movie was made, like, jointly with the military. It's pretty obvious. And actually, I think they should have brought that up more in the advertising campaign for this film, because I think you would get a lot more people to go out and see it.
They kind of did they did that sometimes. They said, in some of the, I guess, advertisements, I heard that, and then they gave discounts for anybody in the military discounts to see this too.
No, but it's true. It's part of what made the movie better for me, in that I'm a big shill for promotional, like, military type movies. Top Gun's an easy example, but also, I mean, the first Transformers movie did it really well, the way they integrated the military, and it was by design, like by Michael Bay, to include that, because it just adds another layer for people to who that speaks to. And No, that stuff was all totally fine and legit, and it actually boosted the movie for me, made it a bit better, because it would turn into unwatchable if they didn't have that type of military consultation, because any movie that has supposed military people that doesn't work with the military, then it just comes off as you just can't even look at it. So this is definitely watchable because of that. But I don't know, I credit Peter Berg. See, because I think he's probably mostly and solely responsible for me generally liking this movie.
Yeah.
Because I'm a big fan of his because he did Friday Night Lights, the original movie, and he did the TV show, and I'm a ridiculous fan of that, and I'm sure that's why Taylor Kitsch is you know, leading off in the movie. And I had forgotten that Peter Berg did this movie, because I had read it a few months back, but I had forgotten when I was actually in the theater. And because Taylor was there, Taylor Kitsch, and because the movie kind of opens with that that soccer match,
yeah.
I remember thinking, wow, this kind of reminds me of Friday Night Lights. The way they're orchestrating the little the game like in the film. And also, because I thought, oh, wow, not only do they have Taylor Kitsch, but they have Jesse Plemons, who's like the squinty-eyed redhead guy.
Oh, okay.
And because he's from Friday Night Lights as well, so oh. They're like teammates on the high school team. And I was like, wow, that's really cool. And I was like, that's interesting. Why is he there? Again, I forget that I guess Peter Berg did this movie, so he brought him in. So, and I don't know. I think Peter Berg made this movie watchable. And somebody else's hands, it would have been a lesser product and probably like a near disaster.
You're darn right about that. Because like I said, I'm serious that it was right on the borderline. The production value was great. It was pretty. You know, the effects were solid and all of that. So it's not like they didn't spend the money on it. But there were so many opportunities where if they hadn't done something just a little bit more interesting, a little bit more innovative, it would have fallen right into that same old kind of cliched stuff that we've seen time and time again. You know, this is one of the films where I kind of knew where things were going, you know, well ahead of time. But the delivery was pleasant enough that the movie was kind of fun. So,
I really, enjoyed that because Peter Berg said he was in the process of he wanted to do a movie with battleships in it, and he was doing some research on it. And then this movie kind of fell in his lap, and he was like, well, you know, let me merge the two. And so he's like, you know, I have a big blockbuster fun, and, you know, I get to be on some ships. So that's pretty much how it happened. And I don't know, it felt like, yes, we want to make this formulaic. Yes, this is going to be standard, but we're going to have our fun and put our little signature on it. And if you like it, fine.
To be honest,
like, people always bash Michael Bay films, and
right.
Sometimes rightly so. But I personally think people get overboard, and I always get into Twitter battles because for some reason I'm the designated
Transformer defender.
Well, yeah, but not just Transformers, but just, like, his whole line of, like, I don't know why, when and where I became the de facto, like, Michael Bay defender, because I never wanted to take that on, but it's happened 1,000 times, because while all his movies aren't necessarily the greatest thing, I mean, he has a formula, Michael Bay does, and we all know because everyone makes fun of it, but it works. It works, and it gets people in the theaters, and there's a reason why it works. Like, we can all make fun of it. And, I mean, to either of you, did this movie itself seem almost like a Michael Bay Jr. type of film?
It did. It felt like Transformers without all the baggage of Transformers and having to stick to canon and all that other type of stuff.
Yeah, of course.
So it felt Bay-ish, but I didn't mind that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind either because, again, I'm not a Michael Bay hater, but I'm just saying it had that kind of feel because it reminds me of Transformers or Michael Bay's Pearl Harbor because it has those – it's the same formula that it starts off and it tries to make it human in the beginning.
Yeah.
I mean, like, make you connect to these characters with these funny little anecdotal little stories, like, just to paint their background. Yep. So you kind of feel, like, vested in the characters before, like, the S happens.
Yeah.
You know, he tries to incorporate, like, everyday life scenes into the action, like seeing kids playing Little League. And this is stuff right out of the Michael Bay playbook. But I'm not knocking it, though. because
and I agree with you, but the thing is, Berg seemed to do it better than Bay does, because when Bay does it, it really feels formulaic. It really feels like, oh, I know where this is going. It's just so heavy-handed. Berg was a little more subtle. You know, hard to believe, right? But a little more subtle. Things seem to flow a little bit more naturally in terms of the character development. So, you know, I thought that was good. But, I mean, heck yeah, when you talk about, did it feel like a Bay film? The scene where the building falls down was straight out of, like, two of the Transformers movies. I mean, I was like, haven't I seen this before?
But then there's also, like, the hot girlfriend who somehow gets involved. The character to feel sorry for or proud of. I mean, the amputee, the double amputee. There's also like the nerd character, geek.
They're the same kind of guys, you know. I mean, between the character development, which was, like I said, better in the Berg film, as well as the kind of formulaic special effects. My complaint with Bay has been he spends less time on the character development. And the scale of the explosions drowns out what's supposed to happen. Yeah. Thankfully, Berg was cooler about that, though. I mean, they had to, it was literally almost the same special effects as you would see in a Bay film. But it was clear who the bad guys were, who the good guys were. You could see what was happening. The explosions actually fit in some way within the context of the story. it was that's what made it better for me than your typical Bay fare.
Yeah, and I'm just bringing it up because I know I'm sure. Well, see, I think most of the haters will just completely avoid watching Battleship. But for people who do see it and maybe don't like it, like the crowd I watched it with was pretty receptive and kind of like took it all in for the most part, and they really enjoyed it. Not unlike how crowds enjoy Michael Bay films when I go see those in the theater. But I'm just saying, it seemed to please the crowd pretty good throughout. And it seemed like the crowd I watched, well, they laughed at all the right moments. And they were just kind of into it.
What's the catchphrase, Carl?
Oh, mahalo, mother... That's what
it was. No, it was mahalo, mother... Boom.
Oh, sorry. I was
curse words. Filling I don't think in the blanks. In here. It was like, you say a curse word, and then they fill the...
Oh, they make it PG-13 or something.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. That was so, I love that. I was like, are we not cursing in this film? And I don't think we are. We're just using explosions to kind of edit out, which is hilarious to me. I enjoy that. I think, you know, Berg did a good job with the actors too, because he's like, well, you know, screw it. We're doing this big thing. Let's get whoever we can get. He got Liam Neeson up in that thing. Like, really?
What movie isn't Liam Neeson in now, though? That's
true, but it just felt like this is a film that I didn't expect Liam Neeson to be in. I also expected him to die in the film. He did not die.
True.
So, Alexander Skarsgård, who was the older brother of Hooper, what was his name?
Yeah, Hopper.
So he was the older brother. But do you know who that guy is, Alexander Skarsgård? He is the son of Selvig from Avengers in real life.
What?
Oh, is really? He?
Yeah.
Professor. Oh. But what else is he in besides the younger one?
The younger Alexander Skarsgård, the older brother?
Like, he reminds me of like Lana's like boyfriend in the first two seasons of Smallville.
That is the guy from Supernatural. But no, the guy he's
No, not him from Supernatural. No, not him. That was her later boyfriend in Smallville. Oh. Talk about her original high school football playing.
I don't know.
Boyfriend.
I don't know.
He played like Flash Gordon.
Lady Gaga's video, the paparazzi video. But so, Carl, you know who I'm talking about, though, right?
I have no idea who.
Okay, the older brother. You're with me now. You know, Selvig in Avengers, the scientist guy?
Yes.
Got turned by Loki. That's right. His son in real life.
Oh, cool. Hey, that's cool.
Yeah.
I don't think I see it, though. I don't. Do I see
it? I don't see it either. But if you just think, like, I get those countries.
If you thought he was doing some bad acting in the movie, he was trying to do an American accent because he's Swedish. Okay. So it wasn't really his acting. It was that he was trying to do, like, he was trying to do a Taylor Kitsch accent. Because Taylor Kitsch Kitsch kind of has, you know, the
All-American Southern.
But yeah, right.
Even though Taylor Kitsch's is, like, manufactured, but he's just becoming natural.
Yeah, isn't he Canadian, I think? Or...
Yeah, he's Canadian.
Mm. Yeah, he was trying to do that. So it was like, I was like, oh, he's doing some terrible acting right now. I don't know if people are going to like this, because in the open, we're sitting, you know, and are doing our thing at the bar, and it's just some terrible dialogue coming out. And I was just like, that's him trying to do an accent, and he's not being strong at it. But well, then he kind of warmed up towards the middle of the film.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, the formulaicness of, you know, what we were seeing was sort of priming me for what to expect. Now, that opening sequence, which, of course, you know, you're absolutely right, Eric, where it's just sort of like, okay, we have to humanize the characters, step one. Relate, make the situation relatable to something that all people know. Then, oh, introduce Chicken the hot house? Girlfriend, you know, and all that kind of, it was formula, step-by-step formula, but, you know, there was a slight extra silliness to it, or there was just something that took it one notch above it being boring. And man, because think about how long it took for that Battleship credit to roll. It was like, oh, dang, that is the movie I'm watching, right?
When yeah, no, I was like, what is it? I was concerned because I was like, did I sit down in the wrong theater? What is happening? What is this chicken burrito? What are we doing?
Yeah, it took a while to finally light up the deck. But anyway, so.
By the way,
yeah.
Alexander Skarsgård, I mean, why didn't you just say he's Eric from True Blood?
That's what I've been saying. He's from True Blood the whole time.
Oh, sorry, I didn't miss that. I'm like, wow, that's like the most obvious thing.
I just, that's what I've said the whole time.
My bad.
Like, if roll a tape back, it's on there. Rihanna, I was really impressed with her. In some of her interviews, she was saying, like, she was trying to channel Vasquez.
Exactly. That's exactly what I was feeling. Yeah. It was Rodriguez and Vasquez. That's who she was pulling.
She said she wanted to throw some Sarah Connor in there. And really what she felt to me, like, she's like Vasquez / Samantha Carter for me. Because she wasn't, like, butchish. Or she wasn't like Ice Queen. She was just kind of her. And I really liked it.
Yeah, well, I thought she was good. Yeah. She was much better than I thought she was going
to be. She's like better than Common Sense was in Terminator.
Than who? Common Sense? What?
Common.
Oh.
Well, his original name. Sorry, I'm old school.
Yeah, that's...
Yeah, because, like, you can feel the rapper on him when he's acting, but you couldn't feel the whatever she has going on. Well, I don't listen to her music, but I just see her in a lot of fashion photos, and I like her from that. And so, I don't know. I liked her, but some people's like, well, a singer's in this. I'm not seeing this, you know?
No, Rihanna's fine in the movie. I can't stand her currently, like, with the rest of her career, but she was fine for me in the movie. I can't currently stand her with any of her current music or any of her current music videos, but
well, I haven't seen any of them, so.
But she was cool in the movie. Yeah, she was just fine. But I don't know. It seems like to me like that happens a lot with a lot of I mean, like, it reminds me when I used to see Ice Cube in movies that I liked him for, and I'm like, yeah, he's cool. It's just like simple, natural seeming, like, you know, it's not like he's all gangster because he's a rapper. He's just. It's just good.
Yeah, some are successful like that. Because, like, I liked Hitchhiker's Guide with Mos Def. A lot of people didn't like that, but I think he was fine.
And, like, Ludacris is someone who I couldn't care for his music either, but he always comes off decent.
Yeah, like, I have to agree with that. But
film roles.
Yeah. So I wasn't too scared of her because I saw scared of what she was going to do to the movie because I really saw, like, she was really serious about fitting in and listening to people, and people that, like, talked about her performance was like she was really studying what they were having to say and listening and taking their advice and holding the gun correctly and all this stuff. And so she really, really worked hard to make, because this is her first film. And so she really wanted to do the right thing. And so I think she's going to be, like, we're going to see her next in the remake of, like, Road Warrior or something. She's going to be on TM or what? I'm rambling.
Wow, that's happening? No,
it's not happening. I'm just making stuff up.
Oh, so it's not going to be a remake of Road Warrior.
It's not. I'm just making stuff up. But I'm just saying she could, because I didn't mind Tina Turner in... You know, either. So it's like if she does that, then I won't mind it.
She might be able to pull that off.
Yeah, yeah. But I don't know. You know, because you remember Will was like, "Do not see this movie at all cost." Blah.
Yeah, because I was kind of joking about going to see Battleship because I do like Battleships too. Except I started sort of like, again, backwards with the technology. Sort of like, I fell in love with B-29s after I saw the windows on the Millennium Falcon.
Yeah.
All right? I fell in love with battleships after I saw all the anime, like, you know, Battleship Yamatos, the Argos, all of that stuff, where you saw them in space first. And then finally I was like, oh, yeah, they actually were battleships. You know, that sort of went backwards to see it and have an appreciation for the old tech. So, yeah, I finally see some battleships doing battle, you know, on in the ocean. In my opinion, it just wasn't enough. There wasn't enough battleship battle in this film. I enjoyed it.
What do you mean? They were on the battleship the whole time.
Nah, it wasn't enough.
No, they weren't. They were only on the battleship at the end. But also,
well, there was a battleship, but they were on destroyers at first.
Yes, then. But I know what Carl means, though. Because, I mean, because obviously, see, this is one of the things that was convenient in the movie. And the convenient things were the things that bothered me a bit. Mm-hmm. But this is one of them. And that the entire fleet has just gone off to sea, and, you know, right in the nick of time for when the force field barrier is in place, that all we have is three destroyers at hand, whereas we could have had the entire fleet. And had we had the entire fleet, then there would have been a movie, because then the bad guys would have been overwhelmed right away and there would have been no film. So,
well, okay, let's see. Now I'm going to start to get into my nitpicking. That cat, she never lets me have any fun, so I'm going to sneak it in here before she says no. But okay, look. These are extraterrestrials coming to Earth.
Again, yeah, I know.
Right? Now, I mean, I got a tirade here to launch into.
The first one
is, they can navigate all of interstellar space, but can't miss a satellite in low Earth orbit. All right, so they've lost one quarter of their team just trying to get into Earth orbit. I'm letting that go, all right? I'm just going to let that go. Not even going to worry about that part. But they finally descend on Earth. They got apparently only two types of weapons. They got the death yo-yos, you know, that they shot out a couple of times. And then they have, if you look closely, campers, remember the battleship peg bombs. Because yeah! Remember from the game, how the little pegs used to be shaped when you put them in the... So that's so they're throwing battleship pegs. So for God's sake, these are extraterrestrials again. Why? They only have ballistic weapons. All right? Everything they fired has got an arc to it. That's going, you know, from where the point that it was launched, I didn't see energy beam one in the whole film. So I'm sitting here going, okay, really? And so then you've got the, you know, the peg cans that lock into the hull of the ship, and then they do that explosion thing. This is, again, this is not decent extraterrestrial technology. If you're trying to wage, I mean, these guys built an entire force shield, you know, that ran thousands of miles up into space or whatever. But no, they're going to throw yo-yos at us. So, all right, I'm trying to let that go. I said, okay, I'm with the yo-yos. I got the peg bombs. Okay, this is fine. What the hell's with the water ship? All right, now, if they flew all the way to space, they're tracking the aliens on the ocean, right? What is it doing? It's bouncing on the surface of the water. You're telling me they can't fly? Alien ships can't fly in the world of Battleship. So now we're tracking them with the little puddle jumper action as they're hopping around. And oh man, what really thwarted our heroes is when they cut left all of a sudden. Oh, they're not attacking in a straight line. They are intelligent. This is ridiculous. This is ridiculous. You guys are killing me.
So, Carl, you're supposed to turn your brain off on that.
I'm not in a coma, all right? It was just killing me, all of these things. So, okay, once again, now we got the aliens. Now, here they come. They have landed on our planet. They are starting to attack us. The first thing they said, okay, think back at the very beginning of this movie, right? When they were identifying planets that could have extraterrestrial life. What did they say? They said they're in a Goldilocks zone, a certain distance from the sun that would, you know, would allow Earth-like life to exist. What's their magical weakness? the sun. Is it naked? Oh, I gotta wear my Oakleys in order to take a
Hey, now that one was acceptable though.
No, it is not acceptable.
Yes, it was. Because they're still Earth-like.
Sunglasses are your weakness.
Yeah, but they're no. Because first of all, they are from a Goldilocks-like planet. It's Earth-like, so they have like gecko eyes or whatever. And like that's fine. It's look, that's exactly how I feel when I go to a desert town like El Paso. Like no, true, seriously.
That if your sunglasses you are fall blinded. Off, you'd be incapacitated.
No, see, you are blinded if you're out in the open in El Paso during the daytime. You have to wear sunglasses. Like I mean, I can.
I'm thinking that perhaps they would have reinforced the whole kind of like glass region because they've got these, you know, Robotech outfits on. But of course, they've got plexiglass as the sunglass on the front. You know, guys are breaking it with rocks. It was just, you know, snipers. Snipers took out an alien craft by sitting on the hull of the. No. No, come on.
My thing was when they were in the little rafter thing, the raft with Rihanna and Taylor Kitsch and the other guy, when the ship was bouncing up and down in the water, I think that much weight in the water would have flipped them, and they were just like really close to that thing, and the thing was splashing around, and they didn't turn over in that little vessel, and that kind of bothered me because it didn't look realistic. Like, they should have gotten wet, number one, wetter than they were, and then that thing should have at least flipped. They could have been like further back and they wouldn't have flipped over, but they were right up on the ship as it was like bouncing and flipping and shooting and firing and stuff, and they didn't flip over. So I was just like, that seems a little weird because they're too close for that.
This is an early Earth invasion team here coming down to our planet. And honestly, in the whole warfare, they shot like 8 yo-yos. That was
those things were pretty devastating. They
8 yo-yos. That was why didn't they start with those, by the way? Because remember they were doing the battleship battle?
And well, maybe they're like the nukes of the alien Goldilocks planet, you know?
Yeah, that's the best thing. Well, clearly, if that's the best weaponry they got, that is just... So I was a little disappointed because I want to get back with Eric, which is basically, I wanted to see all-out battleship carnage in this. And if you're going to do that, well, then you need a alien threat that can put up a sufficient battle. And I don't think, you know... If you had an entire team, it was an international team of battleships and, you know, and destroyers and stuff out there, that if you threw in some energy beams and gave them the ability to fly, then it would have been more of a balanced battle between, you know, a couple of the ships you had out at sea and the aliens. That would have been fun to see that kind of carnage going down. That was really, really, and we're not going to talk about the anchor skin. We're not going to talk.
Love that. Skin. That was so great. I mean,
it looked great. You know, I expected to hear, you know, Bo and Luke Duke yeehawing at the middle of that. But it is no way that an anchor is going to pull the entire ship down like that to get that hook action going on. No.
It looked pretty fake, maybe.
Oh, it was cool looking. I'll give you that. But no, that was just...
Well, I like when they threw up the force field, the aliens, that it kind of created the board game conditions.
That was cool to create it, but you could have more than, you know, one battleship going against them at that time. You had more battleships going on then. And yes, I did think their integration of the board game at that point was rather tactfully done. That was well done.
Yeah, they gave us an excuse, you know, like the buoys with the blah blah, and we're gonna do this, and we're gonna put a grid up, and it was a Bravo 18, Foxtrot 4.
I thought that was well done. I agree that was cool. And like I said, I still think they did a little nod of the hat with the peg shaped weapons. That was kind of fun too.
Definitely, that was fun. So I mean, I don't know. I didn't expect that, actually. I just thought that they were just going to use the name and then have some battleships, and then that was going to be it. I didn't think they were going to, like, use stuff from...
Hey, it's Hasbro. They got to work it in. Marketing.
But then I liked when they, you know, all of their battleships got blown up. Destroyers got blown up, that they actually got the battleship.
That was awesome.
You say awful?
Awesome.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I was impressed because then, you know, you had like
Your old vets kicking in there, you know, like, firing up the birds.
Like, emerging from the battleship, like Ewoks out of the forest or something. It's just like, where do you come from?
When the alien invasion starts to take over the area, the old guys are just going to be hanging out on the ship,
you know,
right?
They're, like,
just
gonna,
they're not going to go home to their families or anything. They're just going to be chilling in the engine room, you know, hanging out on the deck, drinking Mai Tais. You never know.
But yeah, I was thinking, like, it's kind of cool that they made a note to let us know that, yeah, this is not like the stuff that we use today, and that knowledge goes with these guys, and, you know, we need them for something. So, and it's very different, and we need their skill set, and I kind of, you know.
I like that. But of course, you know, being one who can, you know, sort of read the subtleties of movie storytelling, you know, Taylor Kitsch is first heading up to the destroyer for his sunglass incident. He stops by the kid who's out there talking about the battleships, you know. He's like, yeah, but, you know, the certain battleships, they're good, but these are the strong ones. These are the ones that, you know, they can take a lot of pounding. And I go, wow, really? I wonder why he's telling us this right now. I just can't imagine where this is going to go. But still, it was good to see the old ships fighting. That was fun. That was a lot of fun.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. And what else? I don't know. I just think it was a lot of fun. I don't really have any problems with this one. I'd even buy it, you know. It's wow. Right there. It's right there with G.I. Joe for me. It's pretty, like, you know, it's just you want to sit there and watch something crazy. And
I actually like this better than the first G.I. Joe.
You do?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's weird.
Although the second G.I. Joe is looking pretty damn interesting.
Yeah, it is.
We're not there yet, but well, because I think I shook my head way... Well, I didn't really shake my head during Battleship. Internally, I shook my head about 3 times, but I didn't literally shake my head. But I literally shook my head many times for the first G.I. Joe.
Why?
I think we talked about it. I think we talked about it.
Stuff is starting unbelievable. At least, you know, Battleship being grounded, you had a sort of a place to leap off from and go, well, that, you know, that could happen. That's not going to happen. G.I. Joe ain't nothing realistic about that.
Why do you need it to be realistic? It's a fantasy world. It needs to be fantasy and unrealistic.
But we talked about G.I. Joe ages ago, and I said it because you can make your own fantasy world or universe, but you still have to live within the rules of that made-up universe. And there's things that just still didn't make sense in G.I. Joe.
Like, in sense, or just life rules?
Like, even in terms of the movie. Like, I vaguely remember G.I. Joe, but go back to that, I remember one of my biggest griefs was, like, the whole chase, insane chase that went through Paris. And I can't remember
the suits jumping over stuff. I love that.
There was the whole chase, and then I can't remember. Was it because the bad guys were trying to make out with something, or they were just trying to drop off a bomb somewhere?
They were trying to put that melty goo stuff on the Paris.
Okay, so we had this like 10-minute chase scene throughout Paris. It was constant give and take between the good guys and the bad guys, and then eventually, if I remember correctly, at the very end, Cobra finally deploys their thingy at the Eiffel Tower, and as soon as they do, the Baroness or whoever did it, she instantly gets picked up by like a Cobra chopper and gets taken away. And I said this back then on Sci-Fi Pod, well then, why didn't they just use the Cobra chopper and just drop off the bomb?
I remember
they could have avoided the whole thing.
Look, you have a problem with that. But aliens with only ballistic weapons. That's unrealistic for you now.
I was going to add on to that because I completely agree about the aliens' weapons being way subpar.
Maybe they didn't come for a fight. Maybe they were, you know, just going to chill out. Because we never got their agenda. I mean, one guy put his hand on somebody's head or whatever, and we're supposed to, like, figure out what they're gonna do. They could have been nice, but they were defending themselves, right?
No, see, maybe? Like, they made a comparison of like Columbus and the Indians. This would have been like if Columbus and them had like the knowledge to sail the Atlantic, But when they showed up, all they had was like flint knives
and bows and arrows. Exactly,
even bows and arrows have been like a stretch. Like they would just had spears and flint knives.
There you go.
It doesn't make sense.
There you go.
But there was that. But then there was okay. So five ships were coming, and of course the one that got hit.
We start off the game with only five ships. So
I know, but
they were big.
But the one that gets that hits the satellite is their one communications vessel. Like I was like, why don't they just all the ships have
communications on it?
Why,
you know,
why the only one.
Right.
You know,
right.
It doesn't make sense. They were able to get right where they wanted to go, you know, in Hawaii, and they were able to accomplish that. Yet other things seem too difficult. And also, when the aliens they sent out five ships, why not automatically send five more in a day, just like as protocol, you know, regardless of if you get like communication or not, or why not just
stagger them a little,
send a backup communication ship automatically, you know, whether you get a call back or not, you know, if it just goes dead silent, does that mean aliens just
maybe
like,
it was the last of their kind and they were escaping from the planet that they polluted and they needed, you know, they had the one shot. And then, on Star Trek First Contact, they were,
wouldn't it be better just to send a probe ship first that just supposed to stay in orbit around Earth?
Maybe they did that. We never got to see their opinion on anything.
I mean, there's a lot of poor planning.
Yeah, no, even E.T. could phone home using an umbrella and a speaking spell. All right, so for these guys to have to take down an entire Hawaiian array in order to call back, it's just.
And that was, and it was a bit silly, like, after they had it all wired, that, of course, like, you just blow up one part, and then, like, the whole thing goes up, like shield generator style.
It was their extension cords. That was the weakness. Having the big, giant extension cords is clearly the weakness of the aliens. That and their sunglasses.
And I never understand, it's in all these films, and in slasher movies too, like, what's the conceit of the baddie or the aliens where they have, you know, like, why did, oh, the ship's coming at us, we're gonna blow them out of the water, oh, they're veering off, whoa, they're no longer a threat, we'll just let them go. Why do the aliens always do that?
Well, I thought they were kind of like the Borg because they had like some.
But why is the Borg like that? Like the Borg, I mean, that's like bothers me about the Borg too. Like they do that. Oh, these are just individual people roaming around the insides of our vessel. No reason to worry about them. You know, that's not how viruses work. I never understood the conceit, especially like once it burns you once. You know, why continue with the same conceit? And I didn't understand either, like, when the nerd went in to retrieve his metal suitcase.
Uh-huh.
And then the alien was there, and then they had to stare down.
Yeah.
And then the next thing you see, he's just running out. But
yeah, that was weird.
Now, the only thing I can guess, is it might have been the motive of the aliens to only fire on those that fire on them. Okay, because remember,
like
the police went down. All of the early, battleships that fired on them went down. The only ones that survived are the ones that didn't shoot at them. So I am guessing, you know, if I could try to have a flake of consistency here, I would guess that, you know, because he did not appear to be much of a threat, that he let him go. But the counter to that is, where is everybody else on the island? You know, the rest of the scientists that were up there, I'm pretty sure they weren't packing heat and they weren't alive. So it's kind of inconsistent there.
And the other thing that confused me, just like, I'm just thinking, why is this happening? Okay, so somehow they through the salvage, whether they got one of the alien bodies, right, and they bring it on board, and then somehow as soon as it comes to life, it instantly gets rescued.
Your Cobra buddies come to pick them up, right?
They just came, and then they just boop, you know, hold one. They just got him, like, damn. But then, at the same time, they drop somebody off. And I didn't understand, like, what was the purpose.
The motivation, okay. Yeah, right.
So they
drop
him off, and then, like, what is his mission, like, supposed to go, like, inside the ship, into, like, the engine room, and, like, blow the engine? And I don't even know, is that the engine? It's this thing that looked like a massive drivetrain.
I remember. I saw that, and he was waving his hand over it. Yes, right.
Yeah, and it seemed like that was his objective. But, okay, first of all, is that the engine? I don't know. But secondly, why is that his mission to take out the engine? Like, who cares? I mean, if you're the aliens, why send a covert operative to take out the engine of the ship? You can just take it out anytime you want.
You got a death yo-yo. That's right.
And then, if that is his mission, because it seemed like it, because it kept glowing green and other things were red and whatever, why do they get distracted when then someone starts yelling at him and then they just go off and chase people? Like, if the engine is his objective, why doesn't he just do that and then worry about the people heckling him later? That doesn't make any sense.
Well, you know, he did hit him in the foot with a pickaxe, so that ain't cool. Right there, yeah, that was just probably annoying.
And he starts chasing
him
down the halls again, and I'm like, where is he going?
Yeah, that's bad SEAL strategy right there. No.
So yeah. Things like that just, see, they lack some kind of logic even within the confines of the story. And those things, because I'm trying to figure it out. I'm trying to, like, what is...
Because I agree.
Maybe he was trying to figure out if he could use it, if he could take it, or if he had to destroy it. You know, maybe he's like, maybe we could take over this. How does this work?
Like, if we're modern people and we're attacking like people with steamships, like, why would I send an operative in to like stare at the steam engine and like
I gotta get that shovel out of there? That's their weakness.
Those that's exactly what it's like. It's like trying to steal their shovel so they can't put coal into the oven. Like, why is that even your goal when you have grenades and missiles and
Let's see. Okay, the cat, you always tease us about this kind of stuff because you're like, you guys are nitpicking. But see, look, the thing we keep telling you, the sort, you know, whenever you're watching sci-fi movies, little pieces of things tell you something about the story. They tell you things about the science, about the motivations of the aliens, and all of those things.
I thought they were ridiculous too. It's just that they don't bother me. It's just whatever. We can just move on.
Okay, because so that's it's the back and forth where, you know, on some things they got so much right. They did the research with the military. The tactics were fun. You know, watching all that. So you pay attention. That makes you pay attention to the details because they think, oh, they're going to tell us something. These little pieces are leading us on and are telling us something about what's coming. Just like, wow, these kind of ships can take a real pounding. I know why he says that. Tell us. So when he comes in there and he's got a scanner and he's working across the ship, you're going, oh, this is telling us something about the motivations of the aliens. Oh, maybe they need uranium or something. You know, you're sitting there and you're thinking of all this stuff. And then the guy with the pickaxe trips him. And then he walks out of the ship for no good reason. You're like, come on. Just like when they pulled the buddy out of the wall like that. You know, when the Cobra team came to get him, I was thinking, okay, well, now we know something about the aliens. It's like no man left behind. These guys, you know, they've got that kind of bond going on that, you know, maybe we'll be able to use that later in the show. Nothing. No, people floating in the ocean. They said stuff's blowing up. The whole ship went down in, what was it, in like Hong Kong or wherever. The whole ship went down. Nobody went to save those guys. But the one guy they pull out of the deck, I don't know why. That's inconsistent. It just it doesn't tell you anything. So other than, well, we did get the chance to see the pseudo mind meld that occurred. So, clearly, for no good reason other than to show us a cool montage, because he didn't carry any alien intelligence with him that we know of, or, you know, he didn't say anything, or I thought maybe that was one good alien that had somehow gotten away from the other ones. I mean, all of this possibilities of things that you could do at that moment. And it was just like, nah, we're just going to, you know, show them they have four fingers and that they are got a cool montage from landing on other planets. That's it. That's all it is.
Crazy beard.
A crazy beard. Yeah, they kind of look like a cross between the guy from Green Lantern and the dude on the Jedi board. The aliens.
Yeah.
What's his name? Amon Sur, I think, from Green Lantern. It looked like a cross from that. But as I said on Twitter, you see what's happening here. Now, we have seen G.I. Joe. We have seen Battleship. We have seen Transformers. The next Hasbro property to become a motion major picture.
MLP.
No, man. Jim. Jim and the Holograms is going to be the next one.
Yes, it's true. Yeah.
No, I'm sincerely thinking My Little Pony because...
Oh, yeah, they got a lot of bronies up.
No, because Brony is a thing.
It really is. You know, I know what you mean. It's true. I was just picking the one that I'd rather see first.
No, I'd rather see neither first, but
come on, man. Jim is excitement. Jim is adventure.
I know. I was just checking it out because, you know, they just added all those things on Netflix streaming recently.
Yeah.
Jim just got recently added, and I was checking that out the other day.
Oh, yes. Come on. Bring on Rio. It's exciting.
But if I think seriously for a second, no, My Little Pony is like really blowing up right now.
It's got
a crazy resurgence. Mm-hmm. That Brony thing is a real thing. And those are all streaming too, by the way, now on Netflix. And the more I read into the whole weird MLP thing, the more, like, I don't know, it's... Because I haven't taken the step to actually check it out yet, but there's, I don't know, there's something more going on there. It's not just a silly kid show, is what I'm able to gather.
But, yeah, they're going in a direction with that stuff that's a little bit scary.
Because
so.
I'm afraid, because, I mean, from what little I've read into, like, because everyone said, hey, this one pony seems like the 10th Doctor. And then... And then in an interview I read, the producers were like, well, actually that wasn't an accident, like we actually did that on purpose. And then they say, and that's why in season 2 we have the pony who's kind of like the 11th Doctor. I'm just like, that's weird, like
me.
So that's actually a thing. So I mean, this is not your typical My Little Pony.
Maybe we'll get a Play-Doh movie. That's Hasbro.
No, I don't.
Nerf?
But I don't know. MLP is getting pretty hot right now. It's becoming a hot property for some reason. And there must be some reason why, because I know a couple Twitter feed guys who have gone there and checked it out and liked it.
I'm just saying, you know, Jim played by Katy Perry. Right? Moneymaker.
Typical. She has to be in that movie.
Cash. That's Katy Perry's Jim.
We had Josie and the Pussycats.
Yeah, but nobody wanted to see that.
Jim, they will.
Oh, man, holograms, rock bands. This is going to work. Don't forget the Misfits.
That's going to work.
Yes. But
yeah, so anyway. I kind of got lost in the Hasbro website here for a second. I'm sorry.
Hasbro, man.
I think a proper Masters of the Universe reboot. I know it's not Hasbro, but a proper...
Wait, you talking He-Man?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Yeah.
I want to see what would they do with Orko. That'd be so cool.
No.
I love Orko. Come on.
No, I'm afraid he would be the Jar Jar of the movie.
Oh, now when you say it like that, I'm in pain.
No, I'm afraid of what they would do with him.
But if anybody goes back or watches them, the original He-Mans are like really horrible.
They are, but still.
Did you see the Space Stallions cartoon?
Yeah, of course. Definitely.
That also took me back. When I saw that...
Space Stallions!
Yes, it's fantastic. Space Stallions is fantastic. It would make a great cartoon series. I don't know about a motion picture, though. But, Space Stallions is everything that you remember, like, made better.
My God, they have tights on.
Really? Like, they didn't have that on in He-Man.
I'm just saying, it's almost offensive.
Like I said, you need to go back and watch He-Man.
I watched He-Man. I had He-Man toys. She-Ra.
He-Man at Arms. But He-Man's really bad now when you watch it modern. Because, like, in my opinion, like, G.I. Joe holds up. Spider-Man holds up from the 80s. Transformers holds up. He-Man does not hold up. It's far worse than you ever imagined when you watch it now with modern eyes.
It's pretty bad.
And of course, exceptionally bad.
The formula of, you know, Voltron, where they wait till the very end until they all join together. You know, it's the same thing with He-Man. At the end of every episode, you're like, oh, yeah, that's right. By the power of Grayskull. Why he didn't do that in the beginning? Why they didn't just start with this mess instead of getting all beat up?
It's very poor. And then also, I wonder why no one said in the 80s, because when you watch it now modernized, it really seems like it's really offensive to, how can I say it? It seems like it's really offensive towards homosexuals when you watch it nowadays.
Oh, my God.
I don't understand why no one brought that up in the 80s. Like,
well, look.
Maybe we didn't notice.
He was offensive to everybody back in the day. It really is.
Because I would catch videos on YouTube, and you would think, wow, someone's just redubbed like He-Man and trying to make fun of it. No, they didn't redub it. That's like actually the actual dialogue. Those are the actual voice actors.
Ambiguously gay duo.
Oh, wow.
Watch it if it's still streaming on Netflix or somewhere. Watch original He-Man, and I think it is still streaming on Netflix. It's not the way you remember it, I don't think.
After I saw Space Stallions, I went back. I did the same. I got nostalgic, and I went back to watch some of that old He-Man stuff. Oh, it's bad. It's
and
bad.
She-Ra's even worse.
Hey, worse.
She-Ra's worse. No.
Way worse. I'm like, how is it not offensive? Like, Glad would be all up on it. Like, if it was out nowadays.
Oh my God, I didn't know that.
Go back. Listen to the voice of She-Ra. Okay, that is the funniest part because you don't remember that she sounds like the mom from like Lost in Space. She sounds like some cranky old lady when she's talking. She's not as like heroic and you know and youthful like you think she ought to be. She's like you know your old grammar teacher is now a superhero. It's crazy. It's crazy.
I don't want to embarrass myself by trying to do how Prince Adam speaks. Because it's really uncomfortable, disconcerting, borderline offensive.
Go there.
Oh my God, people are like, this one guy on Twitter is saying, I am absolutely wrong, Battleship was not good. this person on Facebook was like, I didn't think it was going to be about the soldiers and learning the ship's names and the aliens were stupid. And wow, it's just a lot of hatred for this.
What would you be like, expecting, though, if you weren't expecting that?
Yeah, I don't know. Oh, but okay, getting back to Battleship, though, I thought the one character, the guy who was the paraplegic, I think his name was, what was it? I know the actor's name is Gadsden. He's actually a paraplegic, so it's no CGI or special effects.
Oh, okay.
He served in the army. He lost his legs in Iraq. But you know, to have him come in and play that character with some respect, he was interesting. He wasn't so he wasn't like a campy, just sort of thrown in kind of guy. It was kind of fun to see him in there, and his character was fun to watch. So I liked seeing him in there too. That was fun.
I liked him a lot. He wasn't like all, I don't know, stereotypical.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I really enjoyed that about him.
Had a little dignity about him.
Yeah.
It was cool.
So. Yeah. I like that. I don't know. It was fun for me. A lot of people said it wasn't fun. It's not making the money that they wanted it to make, either worldwide or domestic. It's shy. It's not as bad worldwide, but
it did fairly decent worldwide.
Yeah.
What are the numbers? Somebody give me some numbers.
So far as of this Reuters article, they generated 23.4 million. They were supposed to generate 35 to 40 million. Yeah.
Okay.
Domestic.
Right? Yeah, for domestic. And then worldwide.
According to what I'm looking at, Wikipedia? For worldwide, it says the movie cost 170 to make. Mm-hmm. It's made 250 worldwide. As of right now. And of course, you guys know it's worldwide.
It's been out a month already. It's a cost of $209 million. It has earned $215.3 million in markets outside North America. This is Wikipedia.
I think it's gonna be okay because I think the word of mouth is gonna get around. You know, there like I said, I think people split both two ways on Battleship. They either really like it or they really hate it. But I think the like-its are going to win because it's silly, but it's really pretty good. It's pretty good.
You know, so. I enjoyed this more than Battle Coal in L.A.
Oh, yeah, me too. Agreed.
Because it was just like we saw the aliens. Like, that was your complaint for Battle L.A. is that we didn't see the aliens. I mean, we got the characters, right?
Yep.
We were
yep.
in love with the characters, but it was just kind of dull.
Fortunately, I never saw that for comparison because I was thinking this was something like that, even though I hadn't ever seen that. But you guys mentioned Skyline earlier, and actually, I like this almost on par with Skyline. But again, I like Skyline, but this was better than Skyline.
Really?
Yeah, it was. It was. No, I say it's like Skyline because, see, Skyline, I rented it after the fact, and I was like, hey, that was exactly what I expected it to be. Actually, My expectations were so low for Skyline, it exceeded expectations.
How is your brain working? How?
No, because with Skyline, I was thinking, okay, this looks super low budget from like the little preview I saw. And so I knew it was low budget going in. And considering the low budget, I thought what they pulled off was really smart. I thought it was inventive the way, I mean, with budget in mind. So they kept all the action basically for the most part, centered around like the apartment building. You know, they kept a story that, you know, they had to deal with that limitation. They couldn't just go anywhere in the city.
Now, I appreciate
and I knew they were low budget effects, and for low budget effects, I was totally sold.
Let him finish, Carl.
And so it delivered, and there was like parts where I was just, I don't ever know if those were intentional funny bits or unintentional. Like when Scrubs guy got killed, like, I'm not sure if you're supposed to laugh or supposed to cringe, but it evokes a response, and not a negative response. So I thought it was good, all things considered. Cause I'm like, wow, it seemed to me they did a lot with a little in Skyline.
It was good for an effects reel, but not as a movie.
I just think they did good with what they had, and and I was like, done. Ew. No big complaints. But see, Battleship, even though I like it, to me, it would have been something I would have rented and enjoyed. Like, I didn't have to see this in the movies, especially because I know I'm going to watch at least 20 movies this year at the theater. Like, this didn't have to be one of the 20, but...
Are you mad at me for making you see it?
No, I'm not mad. Again, it wasn't a bad movie, but it would just... It's not going to be... Like, I know, like, all the people I saw with enjoyed it, and I was like, all right, I'm glad they enjoyed it. But I hope all these people have seen Avengers, because... If any of the people who were there enjoying Battleship with me had not seen Avengers, they were in the wrong theater. You know?
or you know, it might be better to see a Battleship first before you see Avengers. To open the summer with that is going to be a really tough.
True, but.
Really high bar.
I mean, because I always figured, you know, go after the better stuff with your dollar first and then, you know, see what's left. But but it was better. The reasons it was better than Skyline, but those are obvious reasons, which you kind of already went over. I mean, definitely a superior director in charge, definite good casting.
You cared about the characters?
Yeah, to a degree, I cared about the characters. And, I mean, with what they had to work with, I thought, you know, good job. Because, you know, there's obvious limitations and, I mean, of scope, you couldn't... Because I know the whole worldwide thing would have been decent, but I think it is a good idea to try to keep it small, if possible, when making this kind of movie. I don't know. So it's all right, but it's no Avengers, and it's not going to be like any of the other movies I'm really primed to see that haven't come out yet this year.
My only counter to all of this is I hear what you're saying, and I respect what you're saying about that. No, I'm not. But if you're going to make a cheap film, you know, where you're going to really leverage the limitations of budget, of sets, and all that stuff, you have to do something innovative with it. It's got to, in some way, I mean, like The Sixth Sense, there's got to be something in there that makes it different than what we see. Otherwise, why am I going out to the movies to see it? Why
are you talking about Battleship or Skyline or both?
We're talking about Skyline right now.
Oh, okay.
We're talking about Skyline because, see, this is the difference. Battleship had a certain scale to it that made it worth going to the theater to see. All right? Admittedly, I knew ahead of time that Skyline was a limited budget movie. I knew that. But the only thing that, you know, that I counter is, if you're going to be a low-budget film and you're going to be in theaters and people are expecting to see a movie when they go out there, then you got to deliver something new. And there was nothing. I mean, clearly, Skyline was straight-up sci-fi Saturday night with what they were delivering there. And I could have been at home complaining about that kind of stuff. Don't make me get up.
Well, like I said, I would not have liked to see Skyline at the theater unless I was just having a good time, like, with friends or something, like, not, you know, just... But I wouldn't have liked to, like, all right, I'm going to go over there Friday night, and this is going to be badass. No, I wouldn't want to go into it with that frame of mind. Like I said, it was a good rental for me.
Look, I'm a big fan of guerrilla filmmaking and trying to do really innovative things with tiny, tiny budgets. That's why I like... We started this whole discussion talking, you know, before we started recording, I guess, talk about old school Doctor Who. And, you know, that's what I liked about cranky old... original Doctor Who and super old school original series Star Trek, where you can see the tape in the zippers on the aliens. And stuff. That's fun to me. And I say, okay, look, but what made these so great was the story, what it was that they were trying to say. And you admire what they're able to achieve with the limitations that they have. Well, okay, great. it's been 40 years now, and I'm sitting in a theater. You know, they got hydraulics as doing the special effects, you know, for this thing. And so I want to see, you know, if you're going to be cheap, if you're going to try to show me something on a $20 million budget, then give me something really unique. Catch my attention, something that I can't just see on YouTube or, you know, something I can see on Sci-Fi Saturday
Night. One thing I liked about Skyline and I also like about Battleship is I was actually sold by the lead in Skyline, Eric Balfour.
I don't like that guy.
I never really thought anything of him one way or the other, but I actually liked his character, and I was actually, like, you know, I was willing to go along with him and, like, root for him during that movie, and I wanted him to succeed or whatever. And I thought Taylor Kitsch worked really well once again in another movie, but in Battleship, and I think those movies were both better for it. Better for their leads, and I'm just looking over Skyline right now. Wow, why has there not been a Skyline sequel? Because
Eric, really, you are no, look, with you, but
look, the budget for Skyline was $10 million.
It was 20 again, but yeah. Mm-hmm.
Well, according to IMDb, it's 10 mil, and it says opening weekend just in the U.S. it made 11.7 mil. So they already made back their budget opening weekend, and in the end, worldwide. Supposedly they grossed us 78 mil. I mean, that's pretty good. Where's my sequel?
Oh my God! No, stop I'm this insanity.
You know what?
I'm just saying the story continues.
He's trying to be like the devil's advocate here. He doesn't like that movie, guys.
I think. He's messing with us.
No. It's No District like, 9, which is obviously like a pseudo masterpiece.
I don't believe you.
Obviously, it's a whole different ballpark. But no, it was.
Just use the word masterpiece.
Yeah,
he was talking about District Nine.
He was just talking about District Nine.
I'm saying it's No District Nine, which is obviously on a whole different level, a whole different ball game. But
yes, let's just let this go right now. So speaking of sequels, did everyone stay until the end of Battleship?
No, I didn't. I was like, no, I'm good. I'm good.
Cat,
supposed to?
Well, slackers, you should always stay because there was more. After the credits of Battleship.
Pray tell.
Yes, it was set. I can't quite tell her. It was a grassy area, possibly Scotland, maybe. Some kids were outside. No, they were biking and having fun out in the grass, and they see a piece of debris that had landed in a field. And so they start poking at the piece of debris that they found out in the middle of the field. And they're not making a lot of headway. And so they find a buddy of theirs who happens to have a blowtorch. And he comes up to the piece of debris. And see, they're hammering on it. They're cutting into it with a blowtorch because they want to know what's inside. What could possibly be inside of this thing that has landed out in the middle of the field? And so the kids are looking. And the guy cracks into it. And finally, the seal breaks loose. And they look inside. And it's a point of view from what's inside of the debris. The guy's looking inside. Then all of a sudden, you see these hands start to come around the edge, and then they cut. And that is the end of the preview. So there is still an alien or two loose on Earth from the amazing world of the Battleship aliens. They are trying to hint that perhaps, assuming that he's not blowtorched to death, because he only has command of ballistic weapons anyhow, so you know he's got it. And assuming that his sunglasses were not broken in the opening of his ship, that there could be.
Yeah, but he doesn't have a battleship, and then how can you stay with the premise? And we've already done it in the original movie, and I'm good. I'm good. I don't want another battleship.
Just letting you know there's more. So there you go. There you go. You got to stay for the credits, people. Come on. Summer blockbuster.
Yeah.
No. I didn't. I figured there could be something, but I didn't really feel like it was worth it.
You just didn't care. My buddy was sitting there going, we paid $20 for this. This is at least a good 75 cents still. I'm going to get my...
I don't know. I don't really want a sequel to this. I'm fine with this one. It would just be... like really too contrived at this point.
I couldn't imagine because you know Battleship 2. They land back in the ocean again. They do it. I don't know.
How can you create this? I don't know. No. You know what? If they do, it's probably going to be direct to DVD, and I'm damn sure not watching that.
Ooh, no. No. No.
So?
So, before we conclude,
I
will throw in that despite the fact you were not able to enjoy it with me, just as an educational exercise, late last night I stayed up and I watched the Sci-Fi Channel's premiere movie, American Battleships. Oh, wait, no, excuse me. American Warship, is because, you know, that would have been too close to the... A sci-fi film, which is about what would happen if aliens landed in the ocean... And then began attacking U.S. shores and battleships at sea. I have no idea where they got the premise from. I have no idea. Furthermore, what was really radical, a radical plot twist in this film, is the aliens were able to disable most of the modern technology that the Americans were launching against them. So they were forced to use a mothballed vessel to combat the alien threat using nothing but really old technology. I mean, I have no idea where they were getting these stories from for this film. I gotta say, instead of Liam Neeson as one of the commanders, they had the bold choice of going with Mario Van Peebles.
Oh, no!
Who is the commander of the Big Stick, which is what the ship was called.
Oh.
Yeah, it was really... Now, here's the thing. Here's...
Was it good?
Wait, I love Eric.
Yes.
I love you, man.
Now, I will say this. It was not horrible. Okay? No. It was not... I was surprised that it was not horrible. Now, of course... They had the crappy special effects. Oh, my God. You know, here's the thing. What I don't get is, if you're going to be doing 3D animation, you know, and special effects, that good CGI stuff, right, and you're trying to merge it with live action, well, at what point do you say physics is not important? Let me just say, I don't mean, you know, nitpicking physics. I mean, if something is supposed to have a certain weight and emotion and motion, like something the size of a person or something, you can't have it zigzagging around like it's completely weightless, you know, not mapping to the background. That's the minimal thing, I think, if you're going to try to do some special effects, that you try to give things a little bit of weight. No, they don't care about that. They don't. There was a scene where one of these aliens, which was a kind of a floating thing, they kind of floated in this movie, attacks a person, and Mario Van Peebles has to turn and shoot it, right? He turns to shoot the alien. The alien falls down. Mario then continues to fire 3 or 4 more times in the exact same spot where the alien had been before. Now, this is not bad enough, but you see, the alien was in front of his girlfriend at the time, so it looks like after he shot the alien, he just continues to wail on his girlfriend with the gun. But I'm just, like I said, I'm letting it go.
You forgot to mention that Carl Weathers was in this.
Oh, I'm sorry.
McCracken.
Yes, McCracken by good old Carl Weathers, who we have not seen since the good old Predator days. Yeah, that was a casting bonanza. They get those two together in a major motion picture. Oh, that alone, it was ridiculous. But the fact is, you know, it was so, it was such a ripoff. I mean, it was such a ripoff of Battleship. I'm thinking there's got to be some legal action pending. There's got to be something. Because, but what I am surprised, I am genuinely surprised. It was not horrible. It was not.
Man, I can't believe.
And neither could I. That's how I was able to make it.
You.
Kat, you and I have tried to watch these films in the past, and we just bailed after 20 minutes. It's like, I can't stand it. This is just killing. It had characters. I mean, it had you know, casting of people that we wanted to see, and we couldn't stand it. I somehow managed to survive American Warships, and I am not injured as a result. So, I don't know. I don't know. It was really, really ripping off. But I guess the one thing that was kind of interesting is they actually got inside of one of the alien ships in American Warships. which was, you know, a bold move for the comparison of, say, what they did in Battleship. But other than that, it was just, no. It was, but I'm just saying, once again, Sci-Fi Channel, on that cusp, it was no Battle of Los Angeles, mind you. No, I never saw that. But the point is, they are able to crank these things out at the same time as the blockbusters are coming out.
There was a lawsuit.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Really? Oh, yes. Well, did anyone win? Because, you know,
they didn't go that far, but there was one.
Yeah, well, I can see why. I can see.
That is hilarious. So are you going to watch this one, Eric?
American Warships?
Yeah.
No. I have not really watched the Sci-Fi Channel since Caprica got taken off. Like,
Good
I seriously...
You.
The yeah. channel pretty much hasn't existed to me since then.
That's
I don't
good.
Blame you.
Yeah.
I don't blame you. There's not much happening there. Yeah. There's not much happening.
Man, that was good stuff. Thanks, Carl, for watching that, because we're not going to do it. We're just glad you did. You're like the poison taster.
Sorry, took one for the team, Cam.
Yeah, you did. That was amazing. Thanks.
Yeah, well, like, the fact that I have survived it, that is a testament to the incremental improvement of what is going on those movies. So, congratulations. I'm not dead.
Incremental improvement. That's incremental.
At this rate,
that's tall words for the Sci-Fi Channel.
That's what I'm saying. It only took them 20 years. So, you know, in another 20 years, we'll start to see the fine recreations of Sid and Marty Croft is going to be cranked out on.
I'm ready for Mansquito 2.
I think there was a Mansquito 2. They've moved on beyond that. Yes. So,
Was it called Mosquito?
Ooh, that would have been good if it was. That's entirely too much innovation. They probably called it Woman Skeeto or something.
All right, guys. That is our Battleship show, unless you guys have any last words.
Release the Kraken! I kept waiting for him to say that. I don't know why.
Yeah, that's a whole nother movie. That's our show, guys. Go to our website, scifipartyline.com, to leave us comments about this excellent show, which I know you have opinions about. Send us a tweet at scifipartyline. We're on Facebook as well, /scifipartyline, and we're on Google Plus now. Yay! So I have those links in the show notes for you. Thanks for listening. We hope you enjoyed the show, and we will see you at the party next time. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. I know most people are anxiously awaiting the shows, but did you finish all three?
They're done. They're
wow. So you're going to do one a week?
No, one a day.
One a day? What?
Yes, I released Game of Thrones yesterday, Cabin in the Woods today, Avengers tomorrow.
Wow.
And I'll just like put links up to them throughout the week. Wow. Since they're pretty old. I mean, we're like a couple of weeks old. So. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And... you know, I'll just stay on top of that. Then, like, I'm doing Battleship with you guys today. Avengers again with Stephanie and Hanako. Oh. And Hanako and Stephanie. I got her to watch Birdemic.
Oh, God. Why? Well, see, you're trying to get her back for Apollo 18, right? That's what that is.
Jeez. Oh, man. So it says Eric is online. And he's hidden. So let me see if I can call him. And she also, hey, you got my email about your homework assignment.
What? Are you talking to me?
Yeah, I'm talking to you. You ignored an email.
What? Oh, I didn't read my email. What are you talking about? What homework? What's happening here?
It is a fan film with the guy from, two of the guys from Earth Final Conflict.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, jeez. All right, let me see. Where'd you send it?
Whatever email address I have.
See, I have many, so I don't
know. Let me add Eric before he takes a nap or
something. Hello.
Hey, there he is.
Here I am.
You ready to do this?
Yeah, I guess. No, I mean, I like to get warmed up conversationally, okay. But...
That's fine. Because I was telling Carl here... Yeah, I know your name, dude. that I had sent him some homework where there's this fan film that has... the guy from Earth Final Conflict, two of the guys from Earth Final Conflict, and he sent me an email, and already, he was like, what?
That's already you're not selling me on this.
Come on, as soon as I heard that, I was like, yes, Earth Final Conflict.
But I don't get, what's the homework? Like,
the homework was for him to watch it. It's only like 20 minutes long.
Huh. Oh, the little, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's a little thing, and I sent it to him, and he ignored it.
I'm trying to. I have about 8 billion email accounts, so I have no idea. I really don't know which one. I'm hunting through it now. I don't know which one.
Let
you
me
sent.
See. Maybe I. Again, he's lying. You know, he saw it.
Which one did?
Let's see. Robo.
I can't ever even remember clearly which show is Earth Final Conflict.
No worry, that's probably for the best.
I don't think I ever. I don't think I ever watched it at the time.
That's your mind protecting your psyche from.
Can I get confused? Because I don't remember what year that came out, but that was like a time period, like for me when I wasn't watching television much, like a weird dark period, like circa like 97 to like 2002 is like a dark period from like in television where
it really was.
I missed a lot of things, so I wouldn't know.
Once again, you chose wisely. That was a bad window for especially for science fiction. I mean, you had such greats as Knight Rider 2000 was out then.
Oh, that was great.
Tech War series was out that time.
What about that X-Men show? What about?
I'm not even counting that. That's
just
early Babylon 5 was out then. I mean, just unwatchable sci-fi reign. Everything looked like it was made by UPN.
So it's a blank. It's a blank period for me, sort of like sketchy memories and like. So I kind of miss, and I don't know. I'm assuming Final Conflict maybe was during that period.
Yeah, it was 1997, 2002.
Man, that was awful.
That was a rough ride. Wow. The first couple of seasons were decent. Come on, Carl, you have to say that. At least the first season.
I'm not going that far, no. I watched it mostly because the heroine wore low-cut stuff a lot. That was it.
Was that low-cut? I mean, well, if you're going to watch...
For her, it didn't have to be, which is why I watched the first season. But no, it was not working for me after that. It just got ridiculous.
I like the Talons.
Okay, look, I'm on my third email address. I don't see Jack. When did
I
you
just sent it again? I sent it to Robo Minister.
He probably has like a spam filter for Earth Final Conflict.
Yeah, I think that's what it is. My AIs are trying to protect me. Tuesday, you sent this on Tuesday. Wait, what's this?
Sent it today.
Holy crap! No wonder I didn't see it. That was Tuesday you sent that.
Sent it today.
When you know how your iPhone bundles from the same sender.
Oh.
And I see this, you know, assignment. Short film. That was Tuesday. Man, no wonder. Okay, let's see what you talk about here.
If only to read the copy, Eric. It's been sent to you. I won't ask you to watch it. But I will
understand.
Ask
I don't understand why I'm not. First of all, I was privileged. And then...
Because...
I have different eyes?
You have a lower tolerance for bullshit.
Yes. That's
is that true?
Yes, man, you got standards.
No, but is that true? I've watched some bad things like voluntarily. I mean, come on, I watched classic Doctor Who. Like,
that's not bad though. Come on, for its time.
That's
well, you've obviously been like somewhat converted, or you have like, I don't know. Some
type I have Aaron goggles on.
Yeah, exactly. Because come on, there's sometimes when I'm watching it, like one that I've seen, you know, many times before, and I'm just like, wow. I mean, literally aluminum foil.
Yeah, and rubber. You can see the flashlight underneath it as they're inflating and deflating the bag. It is just it's beautiful. And
there's times where I'm like, this is like it's below like. It's below like a college level production. it blows my mind sometimes, actually.
It was old. It's back in the day. You gotta cut it some slack just a little.
I know, but like Star Trek, classic Star Trek, like production standards wise, it's like Ten Commandments. It's Star Trek is such on a different level of budget and production and special effects.
I mean, honestly, though, it had a bigger budget. I mean, it was U.S. television is what they made. Star Trek had, you know, real big budgets, you know, relative.
Yeah, yeah.
What they were cranking out of the BBC, that's straight up PBS stuff right there. You know, it is.
It's like, but God, production-wise, it's like Ed Wood versus like Ben-Hur. Like it's really vastly different.
It is. Yeah.
It's really crazy, but I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm not knocking Doctor Who. I'm just saying, people who aren't accustomed to it, that's like really reaching for like any person, I would think.
Okay, I'll read you this. This is the synopsis. All right, here we go. Is a short film about an android that channels the frequency of the Big Bang, bringing herself to life and threatening the balance of power between man and machine forever. The film stars two of the leads from Gene Roddenberry's Earth Final Conflict. We are hoping to turn the short into a full-length feature film or miniseries. Oh, yeah. And there.
Is there a Kickstarter campaign?
I don't see it yet, but they're talking about, you know, join us on Facebook or Twitter. So.
Why is it I never heard of Kickstarter like 4 months ago?
Seriously?
And in the last 3 months, because all I hear about.
You don't have enough cool friends. That's why. I mean, I got people going, dude, I need like to repair my fender. I'm on Kickstarter.
I know. It's so crazy.
I never heard about it until February this year. And now
for
I can't.
For what? Doctor Space yeah. Time? Inspector Space Time?
That was the first thing. But then as soon as I learned about that, I just learned about so many others and see it constantly on Twitter and.
You know, there's just one Kickstarter that I don't think got the money that it wanted, that I thought was really kind of cool, but kind of weird. All right. I grew up in the 80s. Really? And so I have a special connection with living in the malls in the 80s. All right. Living in the malls. Like, you know, you growing up, you stay in the mall. Your mom, like, drops you off at 9 a.m. and you stay at the mall all day because, you know, you could get away from your parents, all your friends could meet you there. There were movies and running in and out of stores. The malls. Hank living in the mall.
Okay.
They created a Kickstarter where this guy had pulled together all of these photos of mall life during the 80s. All right. And I know it sounds great, but when you go back and you see the golden parquet floors and the acid wash jeans, the mullets and the neon, the Nagel in the store window. It was beautiful. You don't understand. The artistry, I mean, it was just like Spencer's had exploded in high definition screens. It was beautiful. And I can't, because I couldn't remember the name. I saw it one time, and he even made a little video where, you know, he linked together some of the photos and he was trying to make a book about, you know, what life in 80s malls was like. And it was just, it really brought back all of that stuff that I had missed.
I'm trying to forget that, dude.
Yeah, I totally know what Carl's talking about.
I know, but it's
a movie, a movie that I watch at least maybe two or three times a year at random times is Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Oh, yeah.
And especially the opening credits. Like, whenever I watch the opening credits of that movie, like, it really takes me back to the malls in the 80s. Yes. And, like, it all comes back. And because, like, in the 80s, you know, half the movies I saw at the movies were at the mall theater.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And, like, when was the last time I went to a mall theater? Like, probably the very beginning of the 90s was the last time.
That's the only type of theater they have here.
Exactly. No. They didn't have – really, those big multiplexes didn't really start until, like, mid-90s, you know, mid, I mean, when you're talking about the, you know, 10 plus screens, they really didn't start until, you know, early mid-90s. So all throughout the 80s, it was, you know, going to the where they had maybe four theaters in your mall. You'd go in there with the popcorn that was always too salty. And you go sitting in there, and there was no stadium seating. You know, everything was just flat. You know, you had to push people's heads out of the way. Yeah, those are the good old days.
But I do remember how with the mall, it just seemed so lively, and it just seemed like everything and anything you would want would be there. And
80s malls were straight up Babylon 5, is what it was.
The promenade.
He's Nog, and I'm Jake. Or the other way, whichever way you want to do it.
No, it was a self-sustaining ecosystem. You did not have to leave. You know, you would just walk around. Yes, you had Odo, who's always harassing you. Super security guy, right? He's like, look, I'm just trying to get in the back of the store, man. Oh, you guys again. Stop messing around. It was great. Oh
my God.
I missed that. And you know the saddest thing is the death of malls now. I mean, in my area, there are three shopping malls that are just, they literally are dying. You walk in there, there's tumbleweed, there's no, you know, every third store is occupied. And you just remember what culture and life there was in the mall. And you look around, you're like, how could this have happened? What's going on?
Because malls were pain in the ass. There were people everywhere. You have to walk this whole big thing to get what you want. I just want to, like they say, women want to spend the whole day in the mall. Not me. I just want to get in, get out.
See, that is bizarre. That is, you see, what you're describing is either a dude mentality or an online shopping sort of. That's not the way most people, you know, it's mostly most women that I know. They're the ones that were dragging me to the mall, wandering from store to, oh my God, all the time I spent in dress barns and all the other craziness because, you know, of course I was macking on some really hot girls. So there's no other reason I'd be in the
dress barn. I don't know, dude.
Yeah. But I mean, so I got memories of that too, but it was the girls loved them all just as much, you know, it wasn't Forever 21 back then. It was something else like that where I was like, why would you buy anything in this store? It was like everything was made out of aluminum and it was neon painted and just, I can't remember what these baubles and things that women would always buy. I don't know. But yeah, it's, no. Going to the mall and living at the mall was the thing in the 80s. I mean, that was the thing. That was culture. That was part of life.
That's interesting. And we have stories from back in the 80s, ladies and gentlemen.
Keeping it alive.
It's like looking at those old guys work steam-powered battleship.
Oh, transition ever. Worst transition ever.
Okay, let's do this. Let's do that. Are you warmed up, Eric?
Yeah, I guess I'm warmed up. Sci-fi.
Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line Podcast. This is your hostess, Kat, and today I have with me Carl.
What's happening, Kat?
Hey, what's going on? And today I have with me also Eric.
That's worse than usual. What happened?
Did I hang up on it?
What happened? Eric?
Oh, did I hit mute?
Damn,
did I hit mute for real? Because I just saw that I was muted.
Oh, jeez. You see, we're already starting off raggedy here.
Did you guys hear me make any noise? Or
not at all. It was dead silent.
I was just like, man.
Oh, because I was... Oh, man, I was talking. I guess I was on mute. And I was like, really? It was that bad?
No, we hear crap, okay? We're going to start again, but I like that. That's going on the end of the show.
I did not do that.
All talk.
What are you hitting mute in the middle of the broadcast for, man?
I was breathing hard.
Oh, geez.
What for?
For respiration, I think.
Okay. Let's do this again, then. Does somebody snort? Jeez.
That's why I'm muted. See, that's why.
That That's better than the gun you cocked in the last episode.
I was getting angry. I'm sorry.
Okay. Sci-fi. Welcome to another episode of the Sci-Fi Party Line Podcast. This is your hostess, Kat, and today I have with me Carl. Man. That's not cute.
I just had to help. That was so much fun the first time. I had to do this. Okay. All right.
A bunch of children.
I'm ready now. I'm ready. Guns cocked. Let's hit this girl.
Oh, I hate you. End of line.